As you guys know, or those of you who know me know, that I always have a very, very long look. I think 5 years and 10 years into the future, and try to develop plans and methods and instruments that will cover the contingencies which time is going to impose upon us. We're going to have to get this campaign up into the $500 and $750 million range. I'm telling you that now. There isn't any point in talking about short-term look. Nobody uses those words anymore. Nobody uses the words of this is an emergency, this is a crisis, this is the last time or the first time that we'll ever ask for this kind of money. All such talk has gone out the window long ago, thank God. Second thing that's occurred is that the American Jews have gotten their second wind. There isn't any talk anymore either about the question of tiredness. Am I tired? Are you tired? Gee, I'm not tired, so nobody should be tired. You know those tired rhetorical speeches? That's all over with also. There's a very solid maturity about a very long-range problem. That damn state of Israel's 23 years old, and it might be that we got to work with her till she's 53 years old to get her on her feet once and for all. I just never forget a very simple thing. The United States of America was a debtor nation for the first 37 years of her life. That's all. And she wasn't on her feet until after the War of 1812. And that's a long time from 1776 to 1812. And just think of it that way. We're building a nation. You don't build a nation overnight, not in 10 years, not in 20, maybe not in 30. Okay, now. Thinking ahead to a campaign that's got to go to $1,000 million. Who the hell knows if the Russian thing broke open and threw that extra burden on us of 500,000 Jews? Okay, we have to find constantly new ways of digging at this money. Last year, for the campaign of 1971, we exploded upward and we started finding million-dollar gifts. And we're going to find million-dollar gifts from now on. And it has become a commonly accepted fact. Nobody is shocked anymore that a guy gets asked for $1 million. And that's going to get to be a standard which is going to be easily attainable. And 2 years ago when I talked this way, everybody said I was insane, and I'm not insane. And at a meeting the other night where we were talking about million-dollar gifts for 1972, six men in the room talk about making a pledge of $1 million a year for the next 5 years. So that's how not insane I am. Every year we'll get this campaign started with 10 or 15 or 20 or $25 million gifts, and that's fine. But we can't just explode upward, because how many million-dollar possibilities will there be? I now want us to turn and explode inward. And the whole purpose of this operation upgrade is a very, very simple one, and it's as clear as a bell. It's not esoteric. It's not abstract. Explode inward means I want us to apply the same attention to the gifts in the $1,000 to $10,000 range that we apply to the gifts of $10,000 and above. By now, any decent, responsible, efficient community in America solicits its $10,000 gifts and above by personal solicitation. And every damn card of $10,000 and above is personally solicited, and you don't rely on the guy coming to a meeting to make his pledge. In the old, old days, all the effort in the community used to be about calling the fella to come to the dinner. And you appointed a committee of 50 guys in order to get 100 guys to come to a dinner. And once the people made their calls, will you come to the dinner, will you come to the dinner, we're going to have General so-and-so speak, if you could only get the guy to say yes, he would come to the dinner, that was the miracle, because then at the dinner you'd call his card and get the money. That's right, you would. And I'm a very firm believer in card calling. You would get 10%, you would get 20%, he'd stand up, he'd be a good guy. After a while, people learned the trick of saying, yeah, they'd come to the dinner. So they got the fella off their back who was requesting it. And he would mark down on his sheet, yes, you got acceptance. And of course, the prospect would never come to the dinner. The prospect discovered that the easy way to avoid the whole hassle was to say, yes, he's coming, with no intention of coming. Knowing that that's all the solicitor was after, was to get him to dinner. Well, we were short-sighted then. So we know better now. So we don't fuss around with the stupid dinners. And we go to see every $10,000 contributor and lock it up, nail it down. And we've also learned a little bit of how to do ratings. Not yet. We're very amateurish at that yet. The only way to go to solicit a prospect is to ask him for a specific amount of money in the first sentence. The first sentence. I walked into Lou Barnett's office in Fort Worth several years ago, and I said, Lou, I came here to ask you for 75 grand. So I said, hello first. That's right. And after that, it was only a question of negotiation, because then the next 30 minutes I'm hocking away at him about Israel's needs, and he's telling me about the plastics factories he's building, and I'm trying to figure out arguments to impress him with, and he's trying to figure out counter-arguments to impress me with. But what's going through his head all the time is, geez, the guy asked for 75, what can I get away with? And he's got to work his way down to something. Instead of my beginning with, hey, Lou, you gave 25 last year. What do you want to do? Will you give us 30? Then I'm working my way uphill. That's wrong. You just begin where you got the guy pegged, and then he's got to work you down. The process is different. You're going to wind up at a higher level. We haven't learned that yet. That whole process of soliciting really isn't skillfully developed yet on most people's part, but at least we're on the right track and we're soliciting the gifts of $10,000 and above. Personally, in a man's office, by a team of two or three people with an outside Israeli to help us if we can get it, those are optimum circumstances, and when we develop to the point of optimum soliciting skill, the solicitation of those cards, the same cards, without talking about putting another new contributor on the books, which obviously we will do also, will bring in very large increases of money. And we've discovered it. Okay, now what I want to do, very simply, is apply all of that personal soliciting to the cards between $1,000 and $10,000. Now, I don't want to go into a long discussion here of whether my analysis is right or wrong of how those cards are being solicited now. I believe that those cards are being solicited now in a very, very, very half-assed way. Or put it the other way, I do not believe that the cards are being solicited personally. I believe $1,000 givers are being picked up in general divisions. I believe that $2,000 givers are getting invitations to come to trade and industry meetings in their towns. And if they come to the trade dinner, sure, they'll give a little bit more. I do not believe that every card in that category is being personally solicited. I do believe every card should be. And I will tell you what I think the potential is, and I'll tell you why the game is worth it. Now listen to these figures, and on this I rest my case. In the category of $1,000 to $10,000, now in the 1971 campaign, there are in the United States of America 22,000 to 23,000 cards. We're not closed up yet for the year, and there's a little bit of uncertainty, but with that small margin, use the lower figure. that there are 22,000 cards in the United States of America. I've asked Mr. Tabachnik of our staff to collect them all in one place on one magnetic tape, and he has now so far about 15 or 16,000 of those names. Some of the communities are slow to send them in, and other communities guard them as though it's the Federal Reserve list and you can't get it, and all kind of nonsense. We'll get it. We'll have the 22,000 names put on a tape. Okay. Now, just think for 1 minute. Isn't that weird? Window cleaners. But when that happens on the 29th floor, that's even weirder. 22,000 gifts. Supposing we could upgrade, and that's the name of this operation, supposing we could upgrade those gifts only by an average of $1,000 each. What do you got? You got plus 22 million bucks. And if you could upgrade them by an average of $2,000 each, you got 44 million bucks. Now the gold is there. It isn't go look for it on the moon or on Mars. It's there. These people are contributing. That's the simplicity of this damn thing and the beauty of it and the guaranteed success of it if you do it right. Is it possible to get a guy who's giving $1,000 to go to $2,000? Of course it is. He might strain, he might sweat, might be hard, he might have to go on a payroll deduction if he's a school teacher. He might have to talk a little bit to his partner, if he's a doctor, that they should take $1,000 and less to invest in real estate or in the market. But he can get the $1,000. We're not talking about trying to get 50 grand, get a guy to go from 1,000 to 51,000. Is there anybody you know in all of your soliciting experience where a guy is giving $2,000 that if you go into him and you talk to him man to man, face to face for a long time and explain what you want and why you want it and why you need it and what's at stake for Israel, that you can't get him to go from 2 to 3? He maybe can't stretch to 10, but he can go from 2 to 3. He can go from 2 to 4. We're not asking for the moon. You get him from 2 to 4, and we got 44 million bucks in the kitty more. Let's not boggle the mind if we could get a $3,000 average. You know perfectly well that what I'm saying is correct, achievable, logical, legitimate. So the whole trick is, how do you do it? And it's very simple. It's just a matter of, it's a function of numbers. It's only a function of numbers. There's no ideology involved. There's no theory involved. All there is numbers. Now, most people are obstructionist. Most people are negative. Most people see all the reasons why something won't work, can't be done. Most people are just small, because their first answer is always no, not yes. And that's why they're small. But that's most people. Now that's what we have to break through. How do you break through it? You break through it by a demonstration that something is doable. Most people are also pragmatic. They'll say no, 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 until somebody proves that it can be done. Then they'll say, oh yeah, sure. So what I want is for 1972 to be the proving year that this thing can be done. And again, I'm being very modest. I want a pilot test in 1972 with very careful records kept to demonstrate that when it's all over, and I would say that a good pilot, a good test would be 10%. If we can cover 2,200 of those cards, and Leonard's already got me down to 1,500, and he's made me satisfied with that as a test. Not satisfied, he negotiated me down. Maybe what I really had in mind anyway.
Maybe you get a drink with it.
maybe what I had in mind anyway was only getting 1,200 as a sample. So I wound up with fact of the matter is, it's not really too crucial. It doesn't have to be mathematical, 10%. Fellas, if we can knock out 1,500 cards where we got a record on a piece of paper, Miami, Florida, 1971, $250, 1972, $4,500. Well, we don't want to hit that average. $1,000, $1,500. Even if we put the two gifts together, we're way the hell beyond what we're looking for. Keep on a piece of paper, at the end of 6 months of hard work, by June of 72, you give me a piece of paper with 1,500 completed gifts on it, achieved by you guys in this operation upgrade, and it's such a proof positive that no executive director in the country will be able to resist it. No chairman of a campaign will be able to resist it. No stupid bureaucrat anywhere, lay or professional, will be able to resist it. Nobody will be able to resist it because you will demonstrate it. So there's nothing to argue about. So in the 1973 campaign, we will then have to launch not a pilot, but a full-scale operation. And a full-scale operation, again, is only a question of numbers. Now let's take the pilot numbers. If we're trying to get 1,500 cards solicited by a group of Operation Upgrade men, just divide up the numbers. If one man will agree to try to commit himself to make 20 closings, close 20 gifts, maybe that means he's got to make 2 trips out of town, maybe he's got to make 3 trips out of town, 4 trips out of town in 6 months, what is it? We're not asking for too much. And you go to a town, in the course of a day's work, you can see 5 people, not more than that, maybe 6, if the transportation is good, and if you're lucky, and if the appointments are scheduled tight, and if you don't waste a lot of time. 5 is a better average than 6. Let's be realistic. If a guy will do 5 on a visit, and he'll make 4 visits, he'll make 20 closings. See, and if we're looking for 1,400 on this piece of paper, then how many guys have to be out in the field to do 1,400 if everybody will do 20? You got to have 70 guys. Now, 70 horses will go out in the field and ride the field and ride the work in 15, 20 towns. We'll have our pilot. So we picked 15 or 20 towns where, incidentally, it would be very effective for the campaign if we could achieve the results, not just as a pilot project, but it'll help that actual campaign of that city, and that's how we pick the towns. So if 70 guys will go to work in 15, 20 towns, and each one of the 70 guys will close 20 gifts, we got 1,400 gifts on a piece of paper, and we mail that around to every community in the country, and we say, hey, we found a new way to dig. In the 1973 campaign, they will be asking us. And then our problem will start, because then it isn't a pilot. Then we're out after 22,000 cards. So we don't need 70 guys in the field. We need 200-300 guys in the field. Blanketing America. Blanketing the country. And we should only reach the day, because if that day comes, then I tell you that the campaign in which we solicit 22,000 cards, that campaign is going to enjoy the benefit of another $30 to $40 million. This 1972 campaign, when we do our pilot, incidentally, will benefit to the tune of $15 million, $20 million. What are big numbers, fellas. And it ought to give you the kind of thrill inside of yourself that it gives me when you talk about the possibility of achieving that. With sweat? I don't think so. I really don't think so. I know the sweat that's involved to go into a guy who's giving $50,000 and try to talk to him about $250. That's big sweat, because then you get into very complicated things and you start talking about letter stock and when he went public and when he didn't go public, and by that time everybody's drunk and nobody knows what happened or why, and it's hard to push it from 50 to 250. It's not hard to push it from 2 to 3, from 3 to 5. We've prepared the groundwork to this extent. You guys are here. There are enough guys in this room right now to do this job. There aren't 70 guys, but then you can do more than 20 cards each, do 30 cards each. There are enough guys here in this room to do the job. We know the cities in which to do the job. We know the names of the people who are giving the money now, so we know whom to go to ask for the increases. What we need still is some more spark of cooperation from the communities themselves, the professional executive and the local lay chairman, to whom this sounds like some kind of crazy little scheme. But this isn't a crazy little scheme. This is very big money for no effort. If it'll get rolling and develop a momentum of its own, then the authorities in the establishment we'll quit resisting it, and they'll buy it, and then we go. Then we're sailing. It's a dream. It's not a hope or a prayer. It's a reality. If you guys will go, if Leonard and Jimmy, who've got charge of the thing, together with Jerry Countess, who's the staff man for it, will not N-O-T be fooled by what they got here on this December and January sheet, because what's on this sheet won't cut the mustard. This will never make it. This is altogether too thin. Too thin. It looks full from here. Nothing. It won't do it. It isn't a fourth of the way home yet. The fight to get the communities to accept the upgrade man, team him up with a local man, give him five prospects to see, that fight isn't won yet. Mechanics are not won yet. We're starting. These boys, on the 11th of December, have got one hell of a job yet to fill up that December and January schedule. Forget December, the January schedule. But if the January schedule is packed tight, it's real simple. You got to make 250 to 300 closings a month for 6 months. And that gives you your 1,800 or your 1,200 or your 1,500 sample. If you can't close 300 people in a month, then you got to close the balance the next month. If you don't do 300 in January, you got to do 400 in February. If you don't do 400 in February, you got to do 500 in March. So why the hell make it tougher in any given month? Spread it. Just spread it. And don't let the community or any chairman use the argument that they're not ready yet to solicit the $1,000 gifts. It's got nothing to do with the normal calendar of the campaign. I don't give a damn when the big gifts meeting is for the $10,000 guys. What the hell if that's not till February 28th? You want to come to town and you want to pick up five $2,000 gifts. It's got nothing to do with anything. So don't let them say, they're not ready yet for that level. There's no relevancy to the calendar. I'm excited by the idea, not because I gave birth to it, because I see it as a thing in which the least amount of labor can produce the most amount of money. We ask you guys to do harder things than this. It's an easy thing to do. And I would not like to be disappointed simply by resistance which isn't overcome. So you guys, I've only got to promise one thing, that you'll go. The managers here have got to find the places and the dates for you to go to and when. Anybody got any questions? No questions. Okay. Yeah?
Last year, how about giving us your name and your community?
Don Kahn from San Francisco. Last year when we had Operation Paper Millionaires, we met with Dr. Nesher. You mentioned this resistance. Because we're here now, it seems to me that we should be going back to San Francisco. I know Leonard has talked to the people in the San Francisco community to be prepared for this. What do we tell the local leaders? Because they do resist at first. They can do it themselves. What are we asking them for? The list of people to set up appointments for us?
To get into the community is what he's really asking.
Yeah, well, that's okay. What you're asking your executive director, Mr. Weintraub, for is to understand that here's a good source of new money. What you want from him is to let you, not that you even need his permission, for God's sake, but, you know, we're going through the good form. You want him to understand, let's put it this way, not to let you, you don't need any permission. You want him to understand that you, together, are going to go with some colleague from another city, him, doesn't matter, who's coming to town, to see some guys, 10, 15, 20, 30 guys, in the 1 to 10 giving range. And you're going to try to increase the giving of 10, 20, 30 guys in that bracket, and the campaign's going to get the benefit of it, and Mr. Weintraub's totals are going to go up. That's how you explain it to him. And your friend is coming in from the outside on January 23rd, so you're going to go to work and try to make some appointments for him. And you've got another guy coming in on January 26th, and you've got a third guy coming in on February 2. So you're going to make some appointments for these guys, and you're going to try to see 10, 15, 20 people. And you'll be delighted to keep Mr. Weintraub informed.
We don't want Mr. Weintraub to
make
appointments for
us. If he can, sure.
One thing I adore about Herb Friedman is the way he oversimplifies a magnificent idea once he gives it to you, you know?
That's all it takes.
But in San Francisco, and Jay, pay attention to this, please. We've talked already to Lou. We've talked to Franny Green. We've talked to
Jerry Braun.
We have an appointment set up for them in early January. We're coming out to set up the dates into the calendar. Now, I disagree with Herb a little bit in how you proceed with this thing. I think you do it that way. I think you actually talk to the exec, to the established leadership running the campaign, communicate to them, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, as you've just heard from Herb. And then in an orderly fashion, put it into the calendar. What Herb is saying, really, he's talking, I think, to Jimmy and myself. He says, get off your big ass and get that calendar filled up, is what he's really saying.
Yeah, right.
And the hell with any resistance.
Yeah, right. No reason for any resistance. What can Weintraub resist? What is there to resist? I mean, he'll say, I got that $3,000 card in the big gifts division, and somebody else is going to handle the card. Is that what he's going to say? So you convince him you'll do it better. What's he going to say? He doesn't want that person hassled by somebody from the outside. You're going to go along to make sure that the outsider isn't too abrasive on this local flower. You know, you answer every argument. You just answer every argument, that's all.
Gary?
Lenny, you mentioned earlier there were
about... Gary Aminoff,
Los Angeles. You mentioned earlier there are about 25 target communities we're hitting on this. I assume that we're not limited to those communities. In other words, that this operation can take place in any community that we go into.
I would say that for the pilot, we are limited. Otherwise, we're going to start scattering ourselves around, and everybody's going to come around and say, gee, I know four guys over in Salt Lake. Now let's run to Salt Lake and grab off four gifts. That's 73, Gary. That's when we got a buckshot the country. Right now, let's prove our point. Let's prove our point in a controlled situation. Let's saturate controlled situations. If Canton, Ohio was put on the list, and if there are 131 cards in Canton, Ohio, I would think that a good way to prove our point would be knock off every single card in Canton. Knock off 131 cards in Canton. And you prove a damn point. Because then you show...
Thank God you just sold Jerry Lockton from Canton, Ohio.
Somebody here from Canton?
Yeah, Jerry's behind the beer.
Okay. Okay. So that... So that the selection... I think for the first year, for the pilot thing, the selection of the controlled approach is a better one. It won't buckshot us.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is, Billy, did he sell you for Springfield, Massachusetts, where we're having a hell of a time getting you and Irv to sit down and say, here are the goddamn dates. Seriously. That's what it's all about. That's what Irv's trying to say, Billy. I'm not picking on you because, you know, we're too good of friends to do that. We've had enough frustrations together, but this is the point. Springfield is one of our communities. We're having a hell of a time getting it into the January calendar bill.
You know, typical community, I don't know, but we have a past history of never having been effective with outside people coming into town. Ginsburg's been in, Lenny's been in, we've had countless number of people, Strelitz boys have been in, and everybody has struck out over the years in our community. Now, whether it's an antipathy to an outside layman or professional coming in, I don't know, but I don't think anyone has ever been successful within the community. Nesher has done a job with one person, but that has taken 3 or 4 years of real calm, cool understanding on Nesher's part and by a couple people within the community.
Well, then I would suggest that we try once more on this low level, because we have never sent in people on the low level. We've always shot for the big guys. And I would then also say, very simply, this would be my attitude.
Cut it out.
Cut it! Cut your losses and run. That's all. So Springfield will struggle, so we won't get any extra money out of Springfield. There are some dead pockets in the United States of America. All communities are not the same.
If you want a success story, and a controlled success story, forget Springfield. Let's go on to a real...
Okay, by me.
The question is, we've taken our campaign and tripled it now in the last 3 years. We've done it within the community. The question is, how much further can we go within in Springfield with outside help? And is Springfield a typical community?
From what to what?
We've gone from... 360,000. Last year we went from 800,000 to 1,150,000. Well, that's from 70 to 71. I'm not saying it's great, but it's far a long way.
You know it, and I know it.
I know it,
and you know what's in that town, and I know what's in that town.
No question, sir.
So, you know, Springfield ought to be knocking off $2-2.5 million with such regularity that it gets monotonous.
I agree with you.
And if Springfield can't do it because there's some kind of local bug that got into everybody, then we draw a little red circle around it, and that's it. We'll cut our losses and take our licking. There are only 365 days in the year. That's all we got. And that's our only asset. And every one that's gone when the sun sets, it's gone forever. Now, I don't want to waste time, and I don't spin wheels. So instead of getting another $1 million out of Springfield or $1.25 million, which ought to come, because my God, you know, if places like Memphis and Nashville are hanging around the $2 million mark, Springfield ought to be around the $3 million mark. So if it ain't going to be, it ain't going to be. We'll make the money elsewhere where we won't have to just keep fighting uphill all the time. And I don't say that in any sense of antagonism. I just say we only got one thing, that's time. And I don't want to waste it. And so if in Springfield it's wasted, cut it, forget it.
Jay Freeman, San Francisco.
The comment I was going to make is, if this test is going to be a valid one, you have the people selected have to be selected they can't be the tough one. You have to have a cross section, right? Because if the director or anyone else says, well, here are 10 people, these are our tough ones, they shouldn't be giving so much more, but here's what they are, and you don't get results, this then will affect your conclusion.
You're just saying you have to have a good sample. The few guys who give us in San Francisco
must be like every fifth name or something like that.
That's why I'm asking you, what can we do when we go back?
Look, fellas, Jay, look, I don't want the deck stacked either way.
What we really need is we need 10 dates from San Francisco with six guys on each day. We need 60 or 70 names in San Francisco that are not all the goddamn things that we can't work miracles
with. Well, Jay, I'm playing the averages. When you have a large enough cross-section, you're going to get the median. This is why I want a large enough cross-section. If we hit a couple thousand people, we're going to hit 10% of the impossible ones, and we'll strike out, and we're going to hit 10% gold mines, and we'll make fortunes, and we'll go from zero to 10,000. Well, Jay, I'm not the kind of a guy who begins with the premise that somebody's going to sabotage. I can't begin with that premise because my faith in human nature doesn't really permit me to say that. What I do believe, because I'm a very practical guy, I'm not a starry-eyed idealist, is a certain number of guys will try a certain amount of sabotage. And I'm hoping to overcome that by playing a large enough cross-section. I'm hoping for the averages to level it out. That's what I'm hoping for. Because when we get down to the ultimate thing, which is covering all 22,000 cards, then we're going to have all the easy ones and all the hard ones. We'll have them all. See? All the easy, all the hard. But I want the sample to be a cross-section level.
In a small federated town like Fort Worth, how in the devil would you recommend we get this allocation, these increases, alibi, to the UJA?
Well, that's another story, though. I won't answer that now. That doesn't exist anywhere anymore in America.
Just in I-Town.
I think so. It's one of the few. It's one of the few left, honest to God.
Well,
really?
We were one of the few left.
Yeah.
Bob leaving Palm Beach.
Is there any consideration given to the, in your mind, or maybe it's just impossible or just mechanically unfeasible, to the person who is being sent among us to a community, relative to the manner in which he might relate to the prospect? For example, I'm here this weekend hopefully to get somebody to come to Palm Beach. You were there last year. There's a selected group
where
of
people. Where did it end, by the way? What campaign ended?
About $410,000.
We said we wanted to get $500,000.
Minus a gift that you didn't close.
Which
would have been higher.
One that I didn't close,
yeah.
but he must have come in for something.
Went from the 25 we thought you were getting to 10.
Oh, it's a guy cut.
Yeah.
So he closed. I know that gift. I've talked to the guy. He's going to give 20 this year. He's going to go from 10 to 20.
I'll explain. My point is that it has been stated by the pro and about the people that are involved, and I think it's correct, that a 25-year-old baby-faced guy can't come in and solicit the people in this particular category that maybe are 50, 55, 60, 65 years old, because there's no basis of relating one to the other. Now, this may or may not be true, and if it's true, it just may not be mechanically feasible for this group to try to relate the prospect to the solicitor. My question is it feasible? And if it hasn't been thought about, will it be thought about? Because I think it's an important consideration when we go from it to other communities as well.
You ask me my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. The boys here may disagree.
Share your opinion and then we'll...
My opinion is that age is irrelevant. What's relevant is conviction on the part of the solicitor, knowledge on the part of the solicitor, personal performance on the part of the solicitor. Those are the things that are relevant.
I agree with that. Yeah.
And that a 25-year-old guy can solicit a 65-year-old guy, especially for $1,000.
Yeah.
But my point is different. Why bother with him? Statistically, the 65-year-old guy is in the $1,000 range, and you got to close his card, but I close his last. And if in the mind of the executive director it's going to be a hassle that the incoming upgrade man is only 25, so how do I let him approach my 65-year-old venerables? Don't leave him off. In the $1,000 to $10,000 category, most guys are going to be in the ages of 30 to 40 to 50. And they'll go after those. And leave alone the oddball at the odd end of the scale. Play the averages. That's where most people are. Don't play the freaky ends of the scale.
How many more questions are coming?
I got one.
Wait a minute. Hold the phone now.
Leon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leon Rossi. Flint, a very good giving doctor.
The only problem that I see, first of all, let me preface by saying that I voluntarily took a chairmanship in Flint of a campaign because there wasn't anybody who was going to take it. And I decided at the time when I took the chairmanship that every card of $1,000 and over was going to be solicited. But there's a problem, even within the community of soliciting the $1,000 givers, and I find it in the last couple of years also with my going into other towns, and I've gone into many of them. I go into many towns and they don't have appointments for me. I get into towns and I'm there and there's a meeting at that night I'm supposed to speak at, and I broke my back to get there 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting on my duff all day long. And we have the same problem in Flint when it comes to getting the guys in, of getting the appointments. And it happens just like you said, Herb. Yes, you can come over. And when you get there, he's either not there, or you call and you say, I'm coming, and he left. I mean, how do you get the people to give us the appointments? This is the problem.
Well, that's more of a, you want to comment?
No,
what's... We're sensitive to this from last year's experiments. I had to tell you that he doesn't do anything without giving some thought to it. So some of us in this room, and he is deeply grateful to the guys that exposed themselves to that experiment, because that was, you can't begin to imagine what that was. But we're all grateful for those of you that did participate with us. We're sensitive to that as a result of last year. We're staffed better this year. We've got different techniques that we'll work with in the community to answer it. I'll answer that to you privately, what we do in Flint, so we don't get bogged down with that. Herb Garron.
Well, I didn't want to dismiss Bob Levy's question too quickly. I don't think his example was illustrative of his problem. I do think in the framework of a beginning or not, or a experimental operation, we ought to try to the best that we can to put the kind of person who can, I don't know, age is not the criteria, but the kind of person who can relate better to a Birmingham or a Memphis or a Houston, put them together with that community rather than someone who might not have the same kind of a rapport. That's correct. Southern sensitivity. Yeah, it's...
Listen, all I say is in the interest of time, I wouldn't try to spend an inordinate amount of time tailor-making the solicitor to the location. On the other hand, obviously, if there is a way to tailor it without too much of a loss of time, sure. If Jerry Countess has got six guys who are willing to go on Tuesday the 24th, and there are three towns that are willing to take people on Tuesday the 24th, and if he can match, a gentleman to a southern town, he ought to do it rather than match, a wild man. Sure. Within the limitations of that, absolutely, there ought to be some discretion. But what I don't want him to do is scratch his head for 4 hours and make six telephone calls to try to find the right man to go to the right town.
Okay. Let me just say this on this subject. Jerry Countess is staff in the New York office. We didn't have this last year. Nobody's going any place unless they can report to Jerry before you get on an airplane. The six people you're going to see and the time schedule you're going to see him on. If we don't have that information, you're not going. That's clear this year. That
very good.
Does away with a great deal of what we experienced last year.
Very good.
Okay. That we promise you. Now, that's going to go to hell from time to time, so don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning like Larry Cohen did on his way back from Albany to Greensboro, where the hell is Greensboro? North Carolina. And he, Phyllis asked the phone, he says, where the hell is your husband? He's in Newark. He says, you know, I didn't have one appointment in Albany. Call Jerry Countess and tell him.
Thanks a lot.
One thing, okay, then I got some mechanics. You got anything else? All right, one more thing.
I think part of the message that you feel there's going to be some resistance on the part of the pros. I'm not quite sure that's true. I think that's going to be a lot more resistance on the part of local leadership who take pride in their community. And you guys have got to work on this local leadership to help us pros out.
Okay.
Good comment.
All right, fellas, listen. Leonard and Jimmy have got some mechanics to do with you for another 10 or 15 minutes. Excuse me, if you will, please. I told Leonard that I will be back in the States in about a month, in the middle of January. I told him if he wants to send me to Canton, I'll go to Canton. I'll go, because I can't ask anybody to do anything that I don't want to do myself. I'll go soliciting $1,000 cards and $2,000 and $3,000 cards, and I'm not looking for any miracles. I want the $3,000 guy to go to five. I'm not going to ask him for 50. I just want to work in the ranks with the rest of you guys on this thing. I want us all to work hard together to prove the point. We'll meet again. I think we ought to have another meeting along about 60 or 90 days from now to see how we're doing. Maybe I think at the end of February or beginning of March sometime, we ought to take a look at it at the halfway point. I want to wait till June and have a meeting and say, okay, where do we stand? And then see that we wound up making 312 closings. No. I'd like us to blow the whistle long before that if we know we're in trouble. So I'd like to have a stock-taking meeting along about halfway through, maybe. And if we work hard as hell at this thing for the next 6 months, by June 72, we'll know whether we have fashioned a new weapon or not. And then we'll have the next 6 months to work like hell, if we're successful, to find 200 guys to get them out in the field. And that's going to be the problem for the second half of 72, to get the manpower for 73. Because I believe this is going to be a success. Godspeed, good luck, and just I want to say thank you for the try.
All right, I'll take these sheets.
Yeah.
And then you guys are going to keep in touch with me every week. You're going to send me
Jerry will have your report sheets every week on where they've been, right, what they're doing, and their results.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Excuse me, fellas.
Before we break, I've got about 10 or 15 more minutes. So, Saul Friedman, Philadelphia. He was one of the experimentees.
One of the problems that Herb referred to was the word closing.
Yeah.
And my experience on this has been that you just don't do it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that part of this...
Hey, wait a minute, fellas. We got 10 or 15 more minutes. Be patient as hell. Sit down, Garen, and don't be destructive. And let's all finish off. Okay.
One of the things that has to be built into the structure of going into the community and getting them to invite us to begin with is a commitment of what that community is going to do to follow up on the groundwork that we lay. And I don't think the experience that I've had with the people that I've gone with within the community is that they really don't know what they're going to do when we leave the guy's office. You know, how they're going to follow up, how soon they're going to follow up, whether they're going to follow up, whether I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be built into the structure of going into the community to begin with.
That's Jerry Countess's job. That's what he's with us.
Seems to me everything we're saying is Jerry Countess's job.
And we also have an executive secretary with us on this go-around we didn't have before. So there'll be a lot more organized efficiency in keeping track and following up.
Yeah, except that I don't know if you've even defined what that role is yet.
Okay, so far, by the way, before you leave, everyone should have one of these. These are the results today. Don't stop passing them now. But before you leave, get one of these, and here are the results to date. On this, all of the ones we haven't closed.
Right.
Well, that means that someone is going to have to get back to Greensboro and
That's not the point I'm getting. Before I go into Greensboro, the guy who's going to take me around in Greensboro ought to know what he's going to have to do after I leave.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because part of his solicitation with me is going to be geared to what he's going
to do. 9/10 of the time, every guy in this room knows that you're training that guy in Greensboro for the first time in his life. He's never done this. Now, for God's sakes, you know, most of us have been involved together for a dozen years already. We all know that to be a fact. You know, this only isn't soliciting, We're training guys to solicit. You're going to have to take them by the hand, Saul, and teach them what to do after you leave, that day you're there. He's got to follow up with what you've taught him. Now, there's no oversimplification to that, Gary.
Well, you know, I just want to, agree with Saul in that usually when you go into a city and you do solicitations, a lot of times you do not get a commitment from the guy. You've sold him. You have to leave the city without getting the closing. It means you've got to have your local guy there.
You're going to get this every week. You're going to know what's happening. It's going to be that thick by the time we're through. Every gift is going to be recorded, where it is, how it is, Gary. You'll talk to Jerry Connor and say, you know, where the hell are we with that gift? He'll get back to you and tell you.
We're in touch with the communities on this on a regular basis.
Billy, by the way, Billy, I did that because Springfield is different. We both know it's difficult.
Sure.
And I did it because one friend talking to another. I didn't know Billy was going to respond.
It's all right. You know, this brings up a very interesting point, Lynn, and that is, should each community have one individual who is directly tied into this program and is completely responsible for all follow-ups?
Yes. When that has happened, Rochester, take a look at the results. Great. Miami, look what's cooking in Miami. That's what's doing it. One guy has got the responsibility of doing just what you fellas are saying. Now, that's the ultimate. You know, that's Friedman. You can go grab a cup of coffee with Friedman and tell you that.
You should see what he's got planned.
Yeah, that's the answer, Billy.
But before we go into communities this year, should that man be appointed?
Tough sell. First, you got to sell. He oversimplifies it. You know, he creates it, dreams it, and then Christ gives it to you, and you get dirty doing it.
Plenty.
it's a tough song.
Have you got one man in each one of these 20 or 25 pilot communities?
One of us?
Yeah.
One of the guys we know is what, we do. And we're working it that way. Don Gould. Is Don here?
No, I just went out.
Don Gould in Albany. And by the way, they should have a sheet of priority communities so they know what communities we're thinking of. Have you all got that stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. The thing that's important before you leave, either here today or before the weekend is over, Jerry, pay attention to me, please. We've got a room on the second floor. We've got some open dates. I've got.
Not today. We don't.
Not anymore.
We're closed.
Lock the door.
Yeah, now. That's what I'm saying. We've got a couple of open dates. We need you. Hey, by the way, fellas. This isn't easy, and it's tiring, and it's discouraging. You know, I want to say that. I want to remind you all about that. Billy, how have you been? I haven't seen you in a lot of years. It's good to see you back in the room smoking your pipe. It's all the things that I've just said, and some of us know it already. He's absolutely right. You look at these sheets. He's way wrong in his amounts. We need the day. We need the day a month. We need the 2 days a month. I know you're in court, and I know you got a business to run. I know you got filings to be made with the IRS, and I know you got patients to see. But when you give us the date, try like hell to honor it. And we need the 1 day a month. 1 day a month. We've got most of the fellas, the ones that are here at the conference, we've got 50 or 60 guys that are already giving us time. Jerry can show you the list. It's a simple thing. A guy going, you take a look at it, a guy going from 3,000 to 4,000. You look at the goddamn pages, it's miraculous. Miraculous. You know, 2,000 to 5, 2,000 to 4, 1,000 to 3, it's incredible. You know, the $1,500 giver in Denver went to $1,000,000. Someone asked him for some money. But that's it. No one ever asked him before. That's what it's all about. We need your time. Jerry's got to fill in some dates. Please fill them in. I know that a lot of us want to get down to Bobby's luncheon and pay our respects down there, so I want to make certain we do get there. Either get to Jerry now, or what room are we in on the second floor?
We don't know. Herb.
Oh, it's gone.
Herb, excuse me, Herb.
Hot's
in the right place.
Then get to Jerry this weekend, as you see him in the corridors or now, and please take the few minutes to first fill in the dates we've got open, if you can possibly do it. We need somebody in those communities, those dates. And then give us the days you're available and answer the phone calls. Herb, you've been doing a good job. Thank you.
get these. If you don't have them, read them through. You'll see what's all about it. What else haven't I not said, Jimmy?
You covered.
Zygus in there.
Zygus. Thank you, fellas. How are you, sir? How are you?